It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, live from the studios of Lotus Broadcasting. This is Raider Nation Radio. And you can catch us on the Raiders mobile app. And there's a lot of stuff on Raiders.com, a lot of the content that we do during the week, which is up there fresh, including my coach's interview. I do that on Wednesday. We do Raiders Roundtable on Monday with Eric Allen and Rich Gannon. And then they take Raiders Rundown on Wednesday. They make it a TV show Saturday night on ABC, and that's right after college football. So if you're watching college football, the big game, leave it on that channel. We come on right after that. And I'm really happy about that. So I'm going to the World Series tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Me and my son are going to meet up in L.A. and go check out Game 1. We're big Yankee fans. I've been a diehard Yankee fan my whole life. This is pretty big. So we're excited. Ohtani versus Judge. I know the ratings are going to be enormous. I don't know where they're going to be historically. But I think they're probably going to be at the top of the list. It has a chance to be some of the best baseball we've ever seen. If the pitchers pitch better. Both the Dodgers and Yankees do not have great pitching. We're not talking about great pitching here. It's not Sandy Koufax and Whitey Ford going up against each other. It's not Fernando Valenzuela going up against Rod Guidry. We don't have elite pitching here. Gerrit Cole, Buehler for the Dodgers. You know, the closers, okay. The Dodgers, you saw the Dodgers get beat up badly by the Padres and the Mets in the games they lost. And then they went on this scoreless inning streak, one for the ages. Yankees, same thing. If Judge and Stanton aren't hitting home runs, they're not going to win. They have to hit home runs, and they got to hit a bunch of them. And Judge has been cold in the playoffs, but Judge has another 2 weeks of baseball here. So if you would have told me at the start of the season that Judge would hit 58 home runs, he's easily the MVP of the American League, and he'd be in the World Series. Remember, they should have been in a World Series, but the Astros cheated on them, and we're reprimanded for it. That was the Yankees World Series that got stolen. Kind of like Raider Nation believes the Super Bowl got stolen. I do, from the Tuck Rule. But you got to move on. And then we're going to have an opportunity to see exactly what Giancarlo Stanton can do in the World Series. Because he's from L.A. He's from Sherman Oaks, where I lived for 10 years. And the guy loves being in L.A. And he's hot. It's going to be who can set the table. Mookie Betts is a great player. World Series for the Dodgers and the Red Sox. He's a hell of a player. What will Freddie Freeman be able to do? Max Muncy. Volpe for the Yankees. And I think Juan Soto, who's in a free agent year. Can you imagine if Juan Soto is the MVP of the World Series, which he could be? If he's able to do that, how much money he'll demand? He won't get Ohtani $700 million, but might get $500 million, more than Judge. So he's going to probably be up and playing his best baseball of his life. If it comes down to the bullpens, I give the Dodgers an advantage there. If it comes down to the lineups top to bottom, I give the Dodgers a little bit of an edge there. But I give the Yankees the edge in two categories. One, they have the best pitcher, Gerrit Cole. He's pitching game one. He'll be able to pitch game four. He should be available in game seven. I was talking to a buddy of mine today about the pitch count. Some of these pitchers just don't pitch anymore. Fernando Valenzuela in Game 3 of the World Series in 81 threw 147 pitches and gave up 9 hits and 7 walks and won. How many pitchers do you think in baseball would be allowed to stay in a game with 147 pitches and giving up 9 hits? None. Zero. They'd be pulled. But back then, you had your pitchers, they got out of jams. They were able to get out of jams. And we don't see that anymore. So Aaron Boone has got to let Cole pitch. And the only reason you take him out is if the game's out of reach and you're going to save him. Remember Madison Bumgarner against Kansas City? I think he pitched, I want to say, 3 times in that series, even pitched in the bullpen. I like when a starter like Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling or someone goes into the bullpen. This is it. You got to burn out your arm. It's the end of the year. So we'll see what Gerrit Cole can do there. For the Dodgers, they have a heavy heart. Fernando Valenzuela passed away. And as I said, you'll hear the conversation I had with Reggie Jackson tomorrow. I hope Major League Baseball does something nice for Pete Rose. I'm actually calling that out ahead of time. They need to do something for Pete Rose. He worked on Fox. He was a National League legend. He won 3 World Series. You got to do something for Pete Rose, who just passed away. I hope they do the right thing. Phone line 702-365-9200. What are your keys to the Raiders beating Kansas City? We gave it to you in the first hour. I'll continue to do it. Johnny Katz, our entertainment reporter at the bottom of the hour. Snow Raider, waiting the longest in Tahoe. What's happening?
Hey, thanks, Jess. Thanks, JP. My key is to beating the Chiefs, which I think we can do. We got to run Madison, not a second and nine in the pile, but early. And then let's use Brock Bowers in the middle, like the Chiefs have done to us for years with Kelsey. That'll loosen up the run game. Get Brock Bowers going. Let him eat. 2 weeks or 2 months from today is Christmas Eve. Just like in the movie Christmas Story, where Ralphie keeps getting beat up by the bullies, the Raiders need to stop getting beat up by the Chiefs at a 10-2 record that you mentioned earlier in the show. We got to defend the Death Star. Their locker room still stinks like the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. They need to stand up, look themselves in the mirror in gut check time, and defend the Death Star and beat the Chiefs. This is our playoff game. Last year, you and I were in Chicago at the Bears game. It was the same time of the year where the Raiders gave up when we got rid of the old regime, we got the new regime. I want to see results. I want to see to win this game. I think we can win this game. Let's go, Raiders!
There's a guy. Snow Raider thinks they can win it. Give you a nice breakdown. Let's stop the bully. Put your hands on Kelsey. Find Kelsey and put your hands on him. If you've been listening to me for 10 minutes, 10 years, or 20 years, in the Kelsey era of the Chiefs, the Kelsey era, I continue to say every week, every time we play him, you got to play physical with Kelsey. If you don't guard him off the line of scrimmage, he's going to get open. He's like a basketball player going for a rebound. He'll get it. So, Kelsey, if you don't pick him up and put your hands on him and have a safety over the top. Now, how are you going to have a safety over the top if you have Xavier Worthy, the speedster? What did he run, a 4-1? Whenever he ran 4-2? The guy's the fastest guy in the league. Who's going to keep up with him? Ja'Corian Bennett? I don't know. I can tell you one thing. They're going to give Worthy some space. They're going to give him 5-10 yards. I like more of a bump-and-run style of Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes. But we don't have Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes. How come the corners, here's something to think about. How come the corners in the 80s, Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes are so much better than our corners in 2024? And that makes sense. Isn't that pretty sharp? How could guys in the 80s, because they didn't have good nutrition, Mike Haynes ate well. They didn't have the training rooms that the Raiders have. They didn't. They don't have the nutritionist. They don't have it. How come Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes are better? We're so much better than the 25, 26, 27-year-old guys we have now. Think about that for a second. Now, Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes were two of the greatest of all time. How come Eric Allen was so much better than Jack Jones? I don't know. Eric Allen's one of the greatest of all time. And my friend Eric Allen, my partner, 54 career interceptions, 8 returned for touchdowns. How in God's name is Eric Allen not in the Hall of Fame? I repeat, 54 interceptions, 8 returned for touchdowns, and he got good news yesterday as he advanced into that Hall of Fame conversation going forward. He needs some help, man, in that room. Some guy's got to help EA and get him in. Can you imagine if we were with Eric Allen in Canton, Ohio? Oh, my God. Would that be unbelievable? Stoner dude, my buddy, man. It's been a while. Good to hear from you.
Well, JT, first of all, to answer that question is, once upon a time before football got wussified, they taught the corners and the safeties and the linebackers to be physical and hit the other team, knock them out and take them out of the game. And they just don't do it like that anymore, JT. So that's just kind of the simple reason for that. You know, now they just go out and kind of bump around and play a little flag football and hope they get the ball thrown their way. And that's just not the way it's played, man. You got to go out there and hit these guys, man, especially the Chiefs. You know, this is still a Patrick Graham-led defense. And, you know, even though last year, and a lot of your calls have been breaking it down, and you, JT, as well, you know, just really talking about the X's and the O's and how we can do this. But, you know, last year, I didn't expect to see them go out and put a beat down on the Chargers the way they did. Mm-hmm. But they did. They went out there on Christmas Day, the Christmas miracle, and all of a sudden go out and beat the Chiefs. Nobody expected that. So with 10 games left, JT, and I can't believe I hear things like tanking and losing and all that with 10 games left on the season, JT, you know, if this is still Chiefs week, and in the great immortal words of the great Phil Villapiano, I hate the freaking Chiefs. So they got to go out there and play like Raiders and play with Raider pride. Hey, JT, also this Sunday, man, I called this in the beginning of the year when the schedule came out. This is on my birthday, the 27th, and I just need something. I need a good Raider to go out there and just win for me, man. Give me a birthday present. And on the same time, Saturday night, JT, my birthday party is at the Bonfire. Ooh. I know a lot of people be in town. I'm playing with all my bands that night.
Where's the Bonfire?
The Bonfire is a little bar right there next to UNLV, across from the Double Down. It's a small bar, really intimate setting. And I'm playing with all my bands, all of them, literally about five or six of my bands are going to come out, great musicians. And we're going to play a little tribute to some old school Iron Maiden in honor of the great Paul Di'Anno, who just passed away recently. So I'm excited about this week. I know the Raiders can do this. I have faith in this team, and the coach said it himself. We're not here to tank. We're here to win some games. And you know what? We got rid of some of the players that don't want to be here. And the players that are here, they want to be here and they want to win. Later, Raider.
Well, that great phone call. Stoner dude, happy birthday. Go see him play with the Bonfire coming up on Saturday night. I know where the Double Down is, man. They have a name of a drink there. If you text me or tweet at me at JT the Brick, if you know the name of the famous drink at the Double Down. Only a few people know that. Johnny Katz will join us at the bottom of the hour. So Brock Bowers is on pace to have 114 receptions, which would be the second most receptions by a tight end in a single season. That's pretty good. Bowers' yards is on pace for 1,158 yards, which would beat the yardage record by 82. So what a rookie year he's having. Remember, this is Brock Bowers' first game against Kansas City. And we hope that Brock is a Raider forever. He's that good of a player. So we need Brock to open up his rookie year, his history with the Raiders with a big game here. He's not going to have many games where he's on the other sideline against Travis Kelce left. Travis Kelce's on TV, podcast. You know how much money Kelce's making on that podcast with his brother? I haven't done radio for almost 30 years. He's done none. He comes in and does a podcast with his brother. It's making well over $100 million. I mean, if he's making $20, $30, $40 million on a podcast, can you believe that number? On a podcast. It means he doesn't have to show up and go to a radio studio like I do. He just sits at home, throws on a headset and laughs and tells stories with his brothers. Everything that Kelce's doing is now getting worldwide attention. But he's not having a glamorous year this year. He's not. And I don't think the Chief fans care because it looks to me like Kelce is going to try to turn it up in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. He's going to be one of those guys. They're not going to practice him a lot. They're going to give him his time. He's going to do his thing. And then when the playoffs start, he's just going to turn into an animal. He's going to get going again. And I just think it would be great. One thing that we could have this year, one, we could have a moment where if we beat the Chiefs twice, highly, highly doubtful, but beat them once and it's at home, it won't be a great season for the record as of now, but that would be a great milestone for this team. It really would. I'm serious, everybody. I know you don't think, a lot of you think it's going to happen, but if you believe it could, imagine what it would be like at Allegiant Stadium. We got to play a good football game. Got to see a good football game. Raider Nation, who's traveling from all over the country to come to this game, they're not selling their tickets, hopefully. They're going to come. Because how many Kansas City fans can afford to come here every game? I don't know. They're doing it. They're getting hotel rooms. They're getting airfare. They're going to the game, and they're buying those tickets in the secondary market from Raider fans for a lot of money. I mean, I'm sure there's some wealthy people in Kansas City, but nowhere near the wealth of Southern California and the Bay Area and Vegas. I mean, yes, Kansas City's got big business. Like every state has it. How many of their fans are going to be able to come here and buy tickets? Steeler fans. See, remember, there's Steeler fans everywhere. There aren't Chief fans everywhere until recently. There weren't. They're all just in Kansas City. Growing up, how many national Kansas City fans did you know? Be honest. Wherever you lived. If you're from New York, Florida, lived in California, let me go 10, 15 years ago. How many times did you go into a bar and see a bunch of Kansas City fans? Very rare. Now it's everywhere. And it's getting a little bit disturbing for me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. All right, some Antonio Pierce sound. This is from his presser. You'll hear his exclusive interview with me tomorrow. talked about the Hopkins trade as DeAndre Hopkins comes to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got to look at it in two folds, right? You know they're going to have some plays for him, get in there and learn the playbook. But to be honest, no disrespect to Hop, this offense still goes through 87 and Worthy now down the field vertically. So I'm sure that Andy, just as he's done in years past when he's made trades for certain players, he finds that role, those six or whatever many plays that he has for that gentleman. Here's a, you're talking about a proven vet that's been in multiple systems. It's not going to take him a long time to learn it, you know, but just to get him up to speed, you know, not quite sure what we're going to get from there, but we know who the primary focus is.
Yeah, Hopkins, I think Coach summed it up nice. There's going to be a wrinkle play for Hopkins. There's going to be a couple of passes for him. And I think this is a brilliant move for Kansas City because they get a very good route runner, who will probably be single covered, not double covered, and that will open up the passing game for Worthy and Kelce more. If you got to look at DeAndre Hopkins when you break the huddle, you're going to look at him. You're not just going to say, oh, he's nobody, he's over there. You're going to go guard him and be worried about him, and that opens it up for Kelce and Worthy, the rookie, to go over the top. A coach yesterday on not just this game, they got Kansas City twice coming up here in a month's notice. It's a lot of games.
Well, it's good. It's always better the second game. The first game, you know, you're looking at it, you're looking at a team that's 6-0 and on a 12-game winning streak. And with all that being said, they're playing really good on defense, really good on special teams. The best part about it, we're very familiar with this team, right? Everything we do in offseason and how we game plan, the staff we put together, the roster we put together is beat the Chiefs. I mean, they're the cream of the crop. So we've been studying the entire offseason, and obviously, you know, the season goes on, injuries, both teams. Now you see the style of play and what they're doing. I mean, obviously, they've had some tremendous hits at running back, you know, looking at Pacheco. That's a big hit for them. But they still find a way to run the ball. They do it very creative with either wide receivers or tight ends or whatever they come up with the ways to do it. So it's always a challenge. It's always fun to look forward to playing Andy Reid.
Yeah, I think he embraces the challenge. As he wrapped up my interview with me yesterday, he embraces the opportunity here. Raiders need an opportunity to do something great. You know, we don't get a chance to play Carolina again. You know, we don't get a chance to play some of the weaker teams in football again. You get an opportunity to play the best. That's got to be embraced. That opportunity in the building really has to be embraced. Also from Coach yesterday, the defense of the Chiefs, we both agree, this is an improved unit with Steve Spagnuolo and Chris Jones and the players that they have. They're tough.
Ultimate, and I always say, and obviously you know, play for him, but Steve Spagnuolo, what he's able to do, the pressure, this year you see they're kind of morphing into something different. They're doing, they got different personnel groupings, playing, you know, not as blitz happy, but they're still aggressive, still stouted linebackers. They do a good job with their staff, just getting their players to do exactly what they're asked to do. And then when the plays are there to be made, they make them. And especially in critical moments in the game, red zone, 2-minute third down, that's probably when they're at their best. That staff is very good, and obviously that's why they've now won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yep, back-to-back Super Bowls. Back-to-back Super Bowls for Kansas City. And last year, how they went through that juggernaut. Man, their schedule last year was brutal in the playoffs, and they found a way to win, especially going into Baltimore. Going into Baltimore and winning was just incredible overall. So that's where we stand. We're going to have Johnny Katz coming up at the bottom of the hour, our entertainment reporter. If you'd like to hear that, I think that's always a good interview. We'll tell you what's happening in Vegas. We'll go around town to see what's happening there, and then I'll give you one more opinion on the World Series coming up. Hockenson out tonight for the Vikings. Vikings are playing the Rams. So the Rams are coming off the win against the Raiders where they didn't look very good. They beat the Raiders, but they didn't look very good. And the Rams have a number of players that might be on the trade block. Could Matthew Stafford be traded? That's a hell of a player. I don't think so, but there are some rumors out there that some teams might be interested in him. And Cooper Kupp, I definitely think he's going to be traded, especially if the Rams lose tonight. If the Rams win tonight and they have back-to-back wins in 5 days, they can get a bounce back and maybe make a run in a weaker NFC West with the Niners down. But if they lose tonight, they might start selling off. They're one of the teams that have some pretty good weapons available for other teams. Trade deadline is, I believe, November 5th, so we got some time for that. Will the Raiders make some trades to get some salaries off the books? He's got to remember, too, and I don't talk about Max. Max is going nowhere. But some other players here, are they going to do what Devontae did and want to get out? I'm not getting the sense in the building that there's a bunch of guys in the locker room who want out. Devontae did, and we saw that coming a mile away at the end. I won't say a mile away, an eighth of a mile away before he left. Devontae made it clear. And Devontae's talking a lot. He didn't talk a lot in Vegas to anybody. But now it's Kay Adams nationally every week. and he's dealing with the New York media. And that New York media is tough. A lot tougher than the media out here. Woo! A lot tougher than the media out here. New York media, they're going to make it tough on Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be easy on Aaron Rodgers going forward. And if Devontae starts popping off like he did about the body language of his teammates, two or three guys and gals in the New York media are going to get all over him. So those are some of the headlines we're hearing. Desmond Ridder got emotional about coming out to the Raiders, leaving his family, coming here for an opportunity. He gets a great opportunity, and it's an opportunity. Will he play? I don't think so, but if he does play, I'm all for giving him a package, let him come in there. And if Gardner can't secure the first quarter, I mean a turnover or a fumble, which I hope doesn't happen, you got nothing else to do than put in the ex-Falcons quarterback Desmond Ridder, and let's see if he can play. Let's see if he can play. Will he be a long-term answer for the Raiders? I don't know. I mean, what's long-term? Aiden O'Connell's under a rookie contract. I think he's a good player. I don't think they're going to trade Aiden O'Connell. He's probably a backup if the Raiders get a better quarterback than him, which I think they have to. Or if they draft a quarterback, that quarterback won't be ready to play. And Aiden O'Connell, because of how cheap he is, how much he doesn't cost on that rookie contract, maybe Aiden starts as you draft a great quarterback in the draft. Don't know. Just trying to beat the Chiefs. Johnny Katz, when we come back on the other side, brought to you by our great friends, Tommy White and the 872 Laborers. They built this city on time and on budget. The 872 is everywhere. Shovels in the ground working, helping keeping up with this city with an international world that we're in here in Vegas, all led by the 872 Laborers, proud partner of our show.
We're tired of losing the last 3 weeks. We'll start there, right? We need to get this taste out of our mouth. We've had opportunities to win those games, and we let them slip away for one reason or another. And now we got a divisional foe that we know very well. We know very well. That's all we've done to study. Our team has talked about it. We're fired up. We're excited. It has nothing to do with last year's game. That team is not even here this year. And I think for us, just to go out there and just compete at a high level. And what I asked our team to do is just for four quarters, man, strain. And I thought last week we did a really good job. When adversity hit, there was no flinching, no blinking. We still had opportunity late in the game to come back and win. And now this game, we got to limit the turnovers, right? It has to be zero. Just has to be. And we got to do a good job with, you know, penalties and then obviously doing our job.
Turnovers have to be zero against Kansas City? We're going to have zero turnovers? He said it. That's the coach. Has to be a turnover-free game. Good luck with that. I hope the turnovers are limited. Limited to the point where it's a competitive game. I want to see a fun game and a good football game. As a season ticket holder, I want to enjoy the game and see some excitement. But most importantly, a win. Any way possible that they win this game. Turnovers, field goals, blocked punts, onside kicks. Now you got to tell the other coach, hey, Andy, we're getting so soft in this league. We have to ask you. We have to tell you we're going to have an onside kick. That drives me nuts. But we'll see how it plays out. Raiders know this team well. I agree with Coach. They study this team. They know them. But can they outplay them? That's what matters most. Tyler in Vegas on 920. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, JT. Just really quick. I know you're going to the Dodgers-Yankees game tomorrow. I'm a Dodgers fan. I know you're a Yankees fan. Yep. Just want to wish you luck in the series. And I hope it's a good one for both of us, you know?
It could be a classic. I mean, it could be one of the all-time great ones, a modern era, you know, incredible World Series with some of the greatest players to ever play in the modern era. I'm hoping for that. I think it's going to be must-see television. And I'm a Yankee fan. You're a Dodger fan. I tip my cap to you, but I'm not in here to compete. We got to win it, and you got to win it. I know where we both stand on this. Evil Empire, the Yankees versus the Dodger fans after the passing of Fernando Valenzuela. That's going to be an emotional game tomorrow night.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, like you said, I've been waiting for this series for, God, my whole life, basically. Hope it lives up to it. As far as the Raiders game goes, you know, it's week 8, JT, and the season's not over. We're 2-5. We got some work to do. And, you know, just like you said, this isn't the coronation for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a red non-contact don't hit me jersey on. You know, I love Mad Max. One of the things I love about him the most is he comes to play in the biggest games. It seems like in every Chiefs game, Mad Max makes an impact. I'm thinking that that's going to be the same this week. And, you know, not many people are giving the Raiders a chance. But you know what? That's just when the Raiders are most dangerous. When nobody thinks they have a shot, just like last week against the Rams, nobody was picking the Raiders. Hey, they were right there at the end of the game to win that game. So you know what, JT? I'm picking an upset special. Upset special, JT. The Chiefs are going to go down in Allegiant Stadium to the Raiders 26-24 Raiders.
I love it. That's the first guy to call the shot and the score. It's the first guy to do it. 26-24, silver and black. Going to need one of those scores to be on defense to put up 26 points. Don't know about that. I'm expecting a really good game. Keep it down to the wire. Have a chance to win it late, and that's how you win it. Maybe it's a walk-off field goal with Daniel Carlson. All right, we're going to dial up Johnny Katz here. Going to get Johnny Katz coming up here in a few moments on what's happening around town here. A lot actually going around town, but nothing bigger than a football game at Allegiant Stadium. And then you got tomorrow night, UNLV going up against Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State, who's in town now. So the Heisman Trophy favorite as of today. Colorado's got a good player, but I think the running back, they love to give the Heisman Trophy to running backs, and Boise State's got a good one. So can UNLV win a tight game, but Jeanty get 200 yards? Yeah. I don't think you're going to limit this running back to under 100, but UNLV's defense has been pretty good, and their linebackers are sideline-to-sideline guys, which I like to see. They got a lot of hustle on that defense. A lot of players get to the football, which is going to be important, and Coach Odom has had a while to prepare for this game, which will be a fierce running attack. Boise runs it on first down, second down, third down. They don't have to put the ball in the air when they got a running back who's that good. They got a running back who's that good, that great. They can control the game on the ground, and they're going to try to do that. No doubt about it, they're going to try to do that. 702-365-9200 is the number as we continue on here. And Vegas is exciting. There's a lot happening in Vegas right now. Johnny Katz joins us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It's been a while, my friend. My wife was at that Lenny Kravitz show last night. I'm surprised you didn't bump into her.
Oh, man, we usually run into each other shows. Yeah, yeah, it was quite a performance. It was sold out, so, and it was that place was it was on fire, man. It was a hell of a show.
What does he think of Vegas? I saw him here a while back. It seems like Vegas is a spot whenever he's going on tour or if he wants to do just a quick standalone show, he comes here. He always puts on big shows in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know, this is part of his Blue Electric album. That is just a Blue Electric Light album that just came out, and he's touring off of it, and he's doing five shows here. And, you know, the first time I ever saw Lenny Kravitz was at the joint at the Hard Rock Hotel years ago. I mean, I think it was early 2000, maybe even the late 90s. And, yeah, it's five shows, and as I was watching it, I was like, this could be a sit-down residency production for real in Las Vegas. It was a very impressively produced show, and you know, he's just Lenny Kravitz gets it. You know, he plays all the hits. We played "Are You Gonna Go My Way," and then "Over Till It's Over," "American Woman," "Fly Away." A long stretch of "Let Love Rule" to close the show, where he went all the way around the theater, and it was a very unifying message. You know, Lenny Kravitz is a very kind of late '60s vibe. You know,
yeah.
He's got that in him, and And one thing about Lenny, too, is he found the Wasa Kolobali's boutique here in Las Vegas at Baobab Stage, and he's outfitted his band, and I think he was even maybe wearing some of her items last night. And she's a well-known designer and artist here in Las Vegas, so he threw a little shine on a local designer while he's been in town. But I could certainly see more of these. He sold out last night. I think this whole run has been sold out, and he closes up Friday and Saturday, five shows total.
Johnny Katz is our guest. Since I last talked to you, I saw Maroon 5. It blew me away. I went in with not big expectations. I like their music. They got a lot of hits. By the time I walked out of that show, it was one of the best residencies I've ever seen, and I've seen most of the residencies here.
Yeah.
Wow. Adam Levine I was comparing him to Justin Timberlake, but a guy who can play guitar and sing, I think, even better than him. What a performance he puts on in the band. That band's been together since those guys were teenagers, and they were super tight.
Yeah, that's right. I thought the same thing when I saw this show open. You know, I was like, you forget how long they've been together and how proficient they are and how much music that they've made. And his voice is special. You know, they get it, you know. And that it's an interesting thing, JT. That show wasn't selling well its first run. And they added dates, and it was sort of soft, and we were all kind of wondering, those of us who watch these things, why they would have added dates to a show that wasn't selling well. But they were really confident it would take off, and word of mouth like this would carry it, and that's really what's happened. And, Dolby Live's got some very, obviously, some very impressive residency productions across the spectrum this whole year. So, you know, had Bruno Mars in there, Lady Gaga. You know, these two shows, Kravitz and Maroon 5, it's a hopping place.
Johnny Katz is our guest from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. What's the buzz on Sphere? I haven't seen the Eagles yet. I will. The debt service on that property is fascinating to me. As a former stockbroker, you look at numbers, it's James Dolan, and eventually you say they can't pay for this thing unless they do something different. A movie isn't going to pay for that. And then it costs so much for artists to come there and agree to terms and put together their show and all that. And I'm always expecting new artists and new dates. What's the latest on Sphere?
Well, they've got the Afterlife EDM show that I'm really personally looking forward to. Six shows that are over the New Year's holiday. That'll be a different approach for them. That's supposed to be spellbinding. I think that they were looking for more pop from the U2 concert movie. I don't know that that has been as successful as they anticipated. Postcard from Earth does very well. It goes between 2 and 5,000, or maybe 1,000 and 5,000 a performance, and they just run that. That helps, you know, pay the bills. And the Eagles can go, they just extended, the Eagles can go as long as they want, Dolan says, and they will have a total of 28 dates at Sphere through next March. So, those, but they haven't announced, we've been expecting that the Wizard of Oz, edited version of the Wizard of Oz would be announced in that space. It hasn't been yet. There's been no other headliner announced. We had, you know, Zac Brown has been talking about coming in. We've heard about a female artist that they've not specified coming in. That hasn't been announced. And we're coming into, you know, fourth quarter of this year. And I'm eagerly waiting to see what they're going to come with. You know, it's a very, very short list of bands and artists who can perform there. Kenny Chesney's name has been thrown out, you know, as somebody who's probably going to come in there, but that hasn't been announced either. He says he wants to do it, you know, so it's a very short list of artists who can fill the place, who can fund a special customized production over multiple dates. You know, the Sphere is a very, very tight fit. And, you know, what it has going for it, of course, is the spellbinding technology and the unique experience. And we've seen the Eagles show will agree with it. Mm-hmm. But there are not many Eagles out there, you know.
No.
Coldplay was in play, so to speak, for a while. They're not going to do it. They're going to Allegiant Stadium next year, so they're out. You know, so you're, you know, Dead & Company's played out. U2's played out. Fish has played out. I thought Fish would be announced to come back. They haven't announced, so... We'll see. That's as much as I can tell you about it.
John Katsalamidis is our guest. Cool and the Gang in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What's up with this show, musical Be Cool? Everybody loves Cool and the Gang.
Yeah, I'll tell you, anywhere in the free world, you put a Cool and the Gang song on and it's a party, right? Ladies' night celebration. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And right alongside that announcement, or their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they announced that they're developing a musical, called Be Cool, B-E-K-O-O-L, and it's a story of Robert Cool Bell and the development of the band, and think of it as an R&B version of Jersey Boys, as Jersey Boys was to Four Seasons, who are also from New Jersey, both are from New Jersey. This is to Kool and the Gang, and I don't know if you saw the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame highlights, but they brought the place, you know, they brought the party to the place, and they always do. They just finished a strong run at Westgate in September. And they're going to tour, and they're going to try and get this thing together within the year and premiere it somewhere in Las Vegas. That's the plan. And the co-producers, Jeff Kutash, who had to splash over at the Riviera for years and has done some, you know, quite a few production shows, and he's partners with the Kool and the Gang camp, and they're going to cast it, have a live band on stage, dancers, and
love it,
and bring it to Las Vegas.
Johnny Katz, as we wrap it up, two more F1 coming a month from now, and I'm looking at the F1. I'm not on the side of the strip. Often narrow than when I go see the great J.O.D. or I go to Virgin with Cliff, and you know where I'm going through the tunnel, I'm coming out and then coming into Harmon, and oh my God, there it is again, F1. What's the difference this year? What are the politicians done, everybody in town, to do a better job to kind of cut down all the disruption?
You know, I think the thing, well, they didn't have to build the track this year. They didn't have to resurface the track. That was a good thing that we were going to be, you know, experiencing anyway. You know, in my view, I think the whole of it is they've adjusted that ramp that's on Flamingo at Cobalt, so you could drive around it and get to the businesses there. That was one of the problems with Ellis Island, if you know that corner, and Tuscany's there, and there's an AMPM there that was really affected by F1. You can access those easier. That's been changed. That's important. But I think it's the expectation, you know, of the community. I think now we know, you know, now at least we're prepared to experience F1. But I can tell you a lot of shows are already pulling dates and going dark on that weekend, or going to matinees. I was talking to Ross Mollison from Spiegelworld, who has Absinthe and Atomic Saloon show and Disco show, and he was saying, you know, he's an F1 fan, mind you, and he was saying that the best decision that they could make is run the race during the day and then have that entire crowd that comes in for the race experience Las Vegas at night the way it was built. But there's no way that would ever happen because F1 wants to run at night the way, you know, for the visuals. But, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just we've experienced it, and we know how to get around it and prepare for it, and I guess just take the blows and move on.
I was at Resorts World last night, and I had dinner with someone involved with Zook Nightclub, and I was just asking about the nightclub industry at all. I saw a headline today at Fountain Blue with Liv and a shutdown there. I don't know if that's good or bad, a remodel, whatever it is, and just the industry overall. As you mentioned, what could happen with some of the music going to Sphere. What's going on with the nightclubs, big picture, macro, about this town? Are they still booming, big as ever?
Well, I think the thing with I've been watching that, because when you redesign a nightclub that early in its run, you know, it really did just open when the hotel opened. It is something that gives you a little bit of pause, you know. It's like you would have thought that they would have accounted for all the design characteristics when they opened it. But, you know, give them fair shake, you know, you can do that work. I think that we're going to see more inventive use of the architecture of nightclubs in Las Vegas. I look at what Dre's is doing with their comedy. They're bringing a comedy lineup in there at Dre's After Dark downstairs, and they're using that at times when the club isn't open normally. And I think you might see more of that. I've heard about, you know, in over past years, Omnia was going to, you know, bring in during COVID, the COVID reopening, we're going to bring Chippendales in there. There was even talk of bringing Wayne Newton into the heart of Omnia and performing there and using some of that architecture for other reasons. I would look for that. I know that a lot of other club operators that I've talked to have really been impressed with Dre's idea to bring a comedy lineup in there, especially if you bring a headliner in there and use it that way. So we might see more of that. But I think, you know, I still think that they're very strong. I think the day clubs certainly have been doing great business, you know, consistently. I think they're just going to try and be add a little bit more variety to their entertainment lineup.
Thank you, my friend. I always love seeing you around town. I'll see you soon. Appreciate you doing this.
Absolutely, JT.
Johnny Katz, I hope you enjoyed that. We just went around Vegas, tried to cover all the entertainment because we got to do a little bit of entertainment here. Can't do all sports all the time. Got to back off the pedal. And he tells us what's happening here. Fascinating with F1. So F1 is next month, pretty much now, right? I think the 23rd is the big day. I went last year to F1 and I was blown away, but there was no one there. Where I went to the Heineken House, there was no one there. So I was like, wait a second. There were women coming up to me with swordfish, lobster, ravioli, cocktails. We had the whole place to ourselves. Me and two guys, I'm like, wait a second, when's everybody come in? And it was weird because on the night where they were qualifying, you could leave the track at like 11 at night and come back at 1 in the morning. I forget the exact time they were qualifying. So I was walking back and forth from the Cosmo to the F1 track, you know, the paddock and all that. It's not an easy walk. I mean, at 1 in the morning, you know, you're walking there. You don't normally walk around Las Vegas at 1 in the morning. But I liked the sight lines. I loved the sound. And then when the race happened, a buddy of mine happened to have a suite at the Cosmo, you know, balcony suite. It's one of the only properties that has a balcony suite and those suites. And we watched it from up there on race night, and it was spectacular because we were hearing the track. We could hear everything really loud, but we had the TVs in the room to watch it. So when the cars went by, you saw it, but then when they went on the back end, you could watch it on TV. And it was really expensive for those who wanted to go last year. The prices are coming down dramatically. Last year, what they did was they scared everyone away. So everybody from around the country are like, oh, my God, it's $4,000. It's $3,000 to go. I'm not going to go. And then you had a bunch of hotels saying at the last second, wait a second, we got rooms. Because everybody was scared. They didn't want to pay that type of money. So I think they got their hands wrapped around this event. What do we have, 9 more years of it? And don't say you want F1 to leave because it's so important. The amount of money it brings into the city is astronomical. So I think a lot of people get out of town. People who aren't into it, Airbnb your house or do whatever and get out of here. Or the people just stay away from the strip. But I know a lot of people that were disrupted last year with their businesses, the bars, the restaurants right around there. They were furious. And I'm not hearing that nowadays. I'm just not hearing it from people I know that they're saying it's a nightmare again. If I'm wrong, let me know. So thanks to Johnny Katz. We'll break and come back. We want to thank all of our proud partners. I'm going to get into a few of them. Not last night, La Casa Cigars. Man, La Casa's got live music every night of the week. And we were out there last night having a cigar outside. The weather was gorgeous, listening to live music. Fantastic. La Casa Cigar Lounge, it's at Tivoli Village. You'll love it. Go there once, you'll continue to go back.
Yeah, again, it's not that much different, honestly. You know, the communication part, that's really the only, because you're not sitting right next to somebody while you're having that conversation. You're going through Rich, you know, that's pretty much the only difference, because we're constantly communicating on the headset already on the field. And, you know, I'm getting stuff to EB, he's getting it to the guys. I'm getting it to James, he's getting it to the guys. So not a whole lot different. Obviously, that situation happening so early in the game, going through the game plan and kind of switching to feel like exactly what Gardner's comfortable with or what things that he likes more that are in the game plan.
That's Luke Getsy. He had a presser today. If you want to catch it all, you can find it on Raider platforms all over YouTube. It's there. I bumped into Coach Getsy yesterday. Yeah, pleasantries, how you doing? That was it. He was going one way. I was going the other. I hope that he has a good game in the booth. I hope he calls a good game and the Raiders win. There's a lot that's going to happen for the Raiders to win. We think we gave you a lot this week on what's going to happen. Tomorrow, my conversation with Antonio Pierce, my exclusive interview with Reggie Jackson, ahead of the World Series, and then Rich Gannon and what he told Eric Allen and I about this game. Rich is really upset with the turnovers. Rich Gannon likes to protect the football. And Luke Getsy's got a big job to do. He's got to open up this offense. I know they can't feel super confident because the offense has played so poorly. But you're due for a game, and you better open it up. I don't think Raider fans are going to be able to handle a conservative game plan against Kansas City. I don't think Raider fans are going to be able to handle that. You call the plays that you think will win the game, but they got to be a little bit more explosive. Can we all agree on that? There's got to be, where is the deep ball to Trey Tucker? I know he doesn't have a lot of time. I know it. Move the pocket and throw a bomb in the first quarter. Let Kansas City know that you're there. I want to thank the Black Hole for everything they do for me. You can become a lifetime member. Go to theblackhole.com. You know, Boyd Gaming here, our proud partner. Locals, locals, locals. Whenever you go to a Boyd property, you'll see Raider imaging everywhere. Deals for Raider fans. Modelo is the number one beer in America. The DeCasta Verde Law Group, I think, has the best legacy in town as a law group because Alex and Orlando DeCasta Verde's dad built that law firm, La Familia, If you get into an accident, 702-222-9999. I want to thank a really good sponsor of ours, Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Gavin Maloof and their friends put together an unbelievable company, Ask for Tequila Commissario by name. We're now doing business with Tito's Handmade Vodka. It's a proud accomplishment for me to have Tito's on our team here on Sports Radio. They're dealing with us, and that's a lot of confidence. I appreciate that. Remy Martin, team up for excellence, a Remy Martin cocktail. Whatever you have, you're going to love it if it has Remy Martin in it, I promise you. Golden Entertainment, our buddies at PT, 70-plus taverns. 872 Laborers, M Resort, the official hotel of the Raiders. Teo Johnson and MRide, MRIDELV.com, the best way to get to the game. Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, best chicken fingers, one love. Resorts World. I did some damage there last night. Had a good night at Resorts World. A little too much fun. And Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, where you'll often see me with J-O-D at one steak. It's a hell of a group we have. I'm very proud of our partners. They're our partners. They give us the ability to go on the radio with you every day, the great fans of the Raider Nation. I'm off to the World Series. I'm excited. Going to Game 1 of the World Series. I'll see you at the Torch on Sunday if you're going to the game.